Message to Israel. Shalom Alechem. Peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel. Names recorded in the Bible usually possess meanings filled with import. God uses this concept of import in names to make His own self, His purposes, and His accessibility known to man. His name, El Elyon, as A.J. Overton points out today, means the Most High God, who is possessor of heaven and earth. As Most High and possessor of all, El Elyon never forgoes His rightful claim over men. Though His creatures may act for a brief time as self-proprietors, He reserves for Himself the power of intervention. I present to you now our Message to Israel voice for the current series on the names of God, A.J. Overton.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer. Greetings, friends, in the name of the Lord Yeshua. My subject today introduces the great compound names of God. The first of these revealed compound names is El Elyon, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. Names recorded in the Bible usually possess meanings filled with import. They often convey character and relationship. The first book of Moses, Genesis, relates situations when either the names of individuals are changed or new names are given. God speaks with special significance on these occasions. Abram becomes Abraham. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. Sarai becomes Sarah. As for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah, for I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Jacob becomes Israel. Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. God also uses this very important concept of names to make Himself, His purposes, and His accessibility known to men. God's revealed names appear over 10,000 times in the Old Testament scriptures. The primary names of God, together with His compound names, display His glory and His grace. The Lord's name indeed is to be praised. The psalmist stated, "They who know thy name will put their trust in thee." The name Elohim, appearing approximately 2,500 times in the Tanakh, the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms, exhibits God's glory, power, supremeness, love, and faithfulness as the Creator. Jehovah, or the name it represents, is by far the most used of God's revealed names, occurring over 6,000 times in the Hebrew Scriptures. Jehovah unveils the personal and living God as the God of history and of redemption, moral and spiritual in His nature. Adonai speaks as God's name for the absolute master. Adonai is the Lord and owner with claims upon the obedience and service of all men, especially upon those chosen by Him and who call themselves by His name. Another Hebrew word, El, used as a name for God, carries the primary meaning of might or power. El is used also for the gods of pagan nations and in reference to angels, men, and objects. The ancient world, in speaking of that which was the most excellent and surpassing of its kind, often used this word El. Thus the psalmist wrote of the great El mountains, or the mountains of God, and of the goodly El cedars, or the cedars of God. When the scriptures use El for the one true God, the name always assumes His power. El is literally the strong one. David declared, "It is God, El, who girdeth me with strength." It is significant that when the word El becomes the name for God, his power or might, in the sense of interposing or intervening, is emphasized. In many instances, the name El is compounded with another word designating God's ability and action in some need or area. God reveals himself through compound names, both with El and Jehovah. The compound names with El include El Elyon, the Most High God, El Roi, the Strong One who sees, El Shaddai, the Almighty God or the God who is sufficient, and El Olam, the Everlasting God. The revealed name El Elyon, the Most High God or the God the Highest, occurs initially in the first book of Moses, Genesis, appearing four times in that passage. The word Elyon simply means highest. This passage records the meeting of Abram with the important personage Melchizedek, king of Salem. He is called the priest of the Most High God, El Elyon. The incident takes place as Abram returns victorious in battle over the confederated kings who invaded the plain of Jordan. God had enabled Abram to deliver the cities and kings of the plain and to rescue his nephew Lot. Melchizedek gives his blessing to Abram. "Blessed be Abram of the Most High God, El Elyon, who hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand." Abram immediately gave him, Melchizedek, tithes of all. The revelation of this name, El Elyon, the Most High God, made a remarkable impression upon Abram. Abram not only gave the tithes of all the spoil of the battle, but when offered that very spoil by the king of Sodom, he refused it, saying, "I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, El Elyon, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich." God's distinctive character as the Most High God, El Elyon, is the possessor of heaven and earth. The fifth book of Moses, Deuteronomy, states that God as the Most High divided to the nations, the Gentiles, their inheritance when he separated the sons of Adam. As the possessor of heaven and earth, it was the prerogative of the Most High to use the principle that he might choose for this distribution. That principle is declared in the same verse. "He set the boundaries of the peoples, or nations, according to the number of the sons of Israel." From this principle has stemmed that unique historical relationship of the Jewish people to the nations of the world. The prophets understood this well, as did the Messiah, Yeshua, who is the hope of Israel and the desire of nations. As the possessor of heaven and earth, the Most High God, El Elyon, exercises authority both in the heavenly and the earthly spheres. The word Elyon, or Most High, like many other expressions used in connection with God, is applied sometimes to objects and persons. In a descriptive sense, it refers to the highest in a series of its kind. We notice in scriptures the highest, Elyon, basket in a tier of baskets, the nation high above, Elyon, all nations, and the king higher, Elyon, than other kings. Thus the word Elyon, or Most High in reference to God, reveals that as the highest, he has created and endowed others with similar natures who are below him and related to him. He possesses, as the highest, the power that intervenes to rule and to deal with these as it pleases him, should they exalt themselves against him. The scriptures note two groups who are below him and endowed with like natures from him. The first group consists of angels called sons of God. Even those angels who have fallen by rebellion still possess a nature given from the Most High God. The second group consists of mankind created in the image of God, whom the psalmist depicts as made a little lower than the angels. Man in his fallen and sinful state yet possesses a nature descended from him. Thus the Lord Yeshua, Jesus Christ, quoted from the Psalms concerning man, "Ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High, Elyon." The great rabbi who became the Apostle Paul could even quote from the unconverted poet, "For we also are his offspring." The prophet Daniel proclaimed to the great ancient king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, "The Most High doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation." The Most High God, El Elyon, is the possessor of heaven and earth. El Elyon never foregoes his rightful claim over men and angels, even though his creatures may act for a brief time as self-proprietors, he has the power of intervention. It is he who commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man, the Lord Yeshua, Jesus Christ, whom he hath ordained, concerning which he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The Scriptures ask, "Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles?" Yes, of the Gentiles also. The Scriptures continue, "The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Will you call upon him today?